flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Vasinga Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to the stinking truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
All right. Sorry, I just had to let the beat ride a little bit. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reggie Adatula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you, having some real Friday vibes, having a lot of fun. You guys get involved on the text line, 713-572-4610. Also the YouTube, where I appreciate y'all weighing in on the debate when it comes to the aux cord. I'll bring that up in confessions because I want to get to the bottom of of what this road trip is going to look like.
You know, yeah, the rules.
We're headed to NOLA. We're headed to NOLA this weekend for Radio Row. Next week, we'll be there all week having interviews and, you know, having fun in New Orleans. And we'll bring you all sorts of stories of what's happening there. And, of course, it starts with the road trip down there. But before we get there, I do wonder, do you think we're going to be in New Orleans? Like, there's not going to be resolution on this Texans OC search by then, is there?
Yes. Yes, there will. I think by
You still think we will be trying to figure out?
We will know the...
We will know.
We will know the next offensive coordinator by the time we get in the vehicle to return to Houston.
Okay.
Hey, break the news, man.
Find that to
Come
be
on, man.
I mean...
Lopez has been working the phone over there all morning,
hey,
man.
They are moving... it's interesting. How do you view the way that they're moving? Because it does not feel like they're... I feel like we're also, you know, locked in on it. You could say that they're moving slowly, but they've had, or at least according to reports, by the end of today, it feels like they will have 7 interviews under their belt in what, like a week and some?
Yeah, that's fast.
A week?
That's fast.
That's pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's not slow.
And so... I guess the way they will start this. Raise your hand if you haven't been interviewed for the Texans OC position.
Okay, who hasn't been interviewed?
I haven't. They haven't gotten around to me yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see, though. But you have seven names that you have had put down for interviews. A few names have jumped up recently. Obviously, Jeff Nixon is one of the earlier ones. Thad Lewis. Sorry, let me make sure I get this right. Jeff Nixon, who is currently the OC at Syracuse in college. Thad Lewis, currently the quarterback coach in Tampa. Nick Cayley, the passing game coordinator and tight ends coach under Sean McVay and in LA with the Rams. And interestingly enough, he just today, at least we're getting reporting, that he has pulled himself out of the search for offensive coordinator with the New York Jets under Aaron Glenn. Bill Lazor, who was the special offensive assistant earlier with this Texans team just last year, he is probably the most tenured, definitely the most tenured when it comes to actually play calling. He's had 3 OC stints in the NFL where he's been some level of a play caller, whether it's, you know, been taken away at various points, has happened. Gerard Johnson, who was the quarterback coach here for the Texans, great relationship with C.J. Stroud that we know of. Grant Udinski has now been added to this, and this is, he believe, as the assistant quarterbacks coach with the Vikings. So, hey, Josh McCown ties. But he is 29 years of age, and he just turned 29. His birthday is in January this month. He is a very young guy, but like widely regarded as like really sharp. And so there's that one. We'll talk more about that. And then Brian Johnson, who is a, you know, Baytown boy, went to Lee out there in Baytown. Most recently, he has been, where did he end up? In this cycle. I forgot where he ended up just recently, but I think a lot of people will know him from his time two seasons ago as the offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles. And that was not a great season for them offensively. It was all right. The numbers were pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I think when you talk about the Eagles offense in general, they definitely had a bounce back season this year. But it feels like there's a little bit of a tight. Texas might have a tight with this OC search that we're really circling in on.
Yeah. Younger. Certainly, you know, guys that have been sort of skyrocketing with their acumen and their play calling and their talent. But you asked earlier, you know, well, what do I think about this approach? I love this approach. I really do. I think what's going on here is you got, first of all, the most important thing, collaboration. This isn't a Cal and Hanna thing. It's not a Nick Caserio thing. It's not a D'Amico thing. It's a collaborative thing. And you can see that from the candidates. Like, let's say they had some interest in Chip Kelly, which doesn't seem to be the case. That would be more of a big picture. You got to go to the owners. Are you willing to pay $4 million? Whatever. Then you have, you know, Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson in-house, D'Amico Ryans clearly, and in Bill Lazor's case, I would think, well, both of them, you know, Nick Caserio as well. You know, these are our guys. Let's see what they have to say. They have, you know, kind of better backgrounds, kind of whole backgrounds in terms of systems and stuff. You have Nick Caley. You know, it's just a real collaboration. And the other thing I like a lot about it is they're only going to hire one, as we know. But they're getting this.
One would hope. Just like, we got the triple offense
coordinator. You know what
coordinator.
We're going to do? I got an idea. Let's go with two. No. They're only going to hire one. But what's going to happen is they've got information on all these young guys. You know, if they ever need a, you know, a quarterback's coach, let's say Udinski, who has,
if he happens to be out there or something.
Yeah, well, even now. Like, let's say whichever offensive coordinator they bring in, they, you know, D'Amico might say, have you ever worked with this guy? What do you know about this guy? We hear nothing but great things. He's never had a full-time position job in the NFL. He's been an assistant quarterback's coach, an assistant tight ends, I think a special assistant to the head coach when he started. This would be like, hey, get a promotion. Be the quarterback's coach for X, Y, or Z, you know, offensive coordinator. Same thing with some of these other guys who might be able to fit in. And maybe if you have the success that you think you're going to have, you already have a file on guys that you might circle back to next time.
Yeah, especially, yeah, because that's also part of it is if you get somebody who is truly up and coming, you might end up in the place that you thought you were with Bobby Slowick a year ago where, oh, wow, we are losing our coordinator 1 year into having our coordinator. We need to go back into this space. I do like the idea that you're putting forward that maybe they're doing like the whole offensive staff searches right now.
And they're like, kicking the tires.
I also had a moment of thought, and I'm going to be honest. I don't have a lot of love for the companies that do this because it feels a little skeevy. And so I feel bad trying to put this on the Texans, but it's just something that came to mind. And so I will say, and I'll allow you to make the judgment, dear listener. Are they doing the thing where they have everybody coming with a binder? What would you do? Huh, that's an interesting plan. All right, we'll call you.
Yeah.
And we're just like, right, let's write that down.
Yeah,
write
absolutely.
That down. Maybe we implement some of that.
That's part of the information you're getting. I don't mind it.
Because
it's a little bit like...
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit... Hey,
underhanded maybe is the best way to put it.
So if there was a hypothetical project coming up for this company, how would you answer this? Huh, yes. And then take the notes and then go and implement
them. That's why I like this. Like, it's not necessarily... You know, the most upstanding thing to do, but it works and it's smart to do. And then there's these connections, as I mentioned, you know, there's a lot of Chip Kelly. I didn't mention that. There's a lot of Chip Kelly connections with some of these guys. Maybe they don't, you know, necessarily have a chance at Chip, or he's withdrawn his name, as Aaron Wilson has said, but they like kind of some of the concepts, you know, that Chip Kelly might do. There's a, you know, Nick Caley is very much a direct line to Nick Caserio. You know, maybe Caserio's like loves Nick Caley.
He spent a lot of time in that Patriots system there.
Yeah, exactly. Patriots way.
Yeah, well, and maybe that's where it's not going to happen if D'Amico doesn't sign off on it. You know, even though he might be a Nick Caserio guy, and then there's the Grant Udinski who we talked about. You say a Josh McCown guy. He worked with Gerard Johnson in Minnesota.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of little things that they're benefiting from here in terms of like. The information they're getting, the potential hires they might make, with this offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Well, I was real interested because when Brian Johnson's name came up yesterday, I was like, I imagine that there might be a lack of appeal for him specifically because he has been He has been a high profile name in that he was with the Eagles a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And when he was with the Eagles, it did not seem to go particularly great as a coordinator. The passing game was fine, like obviously working under Sirianni. But immediately what came to mind was ESPN wrote a big piece, mm-hmm. I believe the beginning of this past football season, about how Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni were trying to bridge the gap that they had previously, and it detailed that previous year and the chasm that seemed to be there between them. I realized actually that's one of the issues or one of the places where I was like, yo, I have questions about Nick Sirianni as a mm-hmm. coach, because it seemed like Nick Sirianni, obviously after working with Steichen, he had some, and Steichen leaves and Jonathan Gannon leaves and they need to get some new coordinators. One of those coordinators was Brian Johnson, and Brian Johnson was an internal hire. He was previously the quarterback coach. And so similarly, like with Gerard Johnson with C.J. Stroud, he had a good relationship with Jalen Hurts. In fact, Brian Johnson, as I mentioned, he went to Lee, just like Jalen Hurts did, and like Hurts's pops, who coached at Lee, rather. They had a closeness. They had a seeming, they were in one accord in some ways. And Nick Sirianni wanted he did not want Brian Johnson to really put his full fingerprints. He was on some if it's not broken, don't fix it type of thing. So I wonder how much of Brian Johnson's ideas of offense you got in that circumstance, because Nick Sirianni wanted that.
That happens a lot.
And there was reporting Nick Sirianni's offense, but that he would actively overrule the play caller in Brian Johnson at various points. And that was part of what created a lot of discord between the quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who did not get a lot of input, mm-hmm. and Nick Sirianni, who really wanted to have a grasp on the entirety of the offense. And also,
Sound familiar?
It does sound a little familiar laying it out. But I do wonder if that means that Brian Johnson has more in there that's not going to be indicative of what a lot of people think of when they think of his tenure as Eagles offensive coordinator.
I think that's a great point, and I think it applies to a lot of people here. That's why these interviews, I like the process. I like that they're kicking the tires on so many different guys. You know, D'Amico's probably sitting ahead of Brian Johnson saying, all right, tell me how you would do it if you were in charge. Same thing with Bill Lazor, same thing with Gerard Johnson, because neither of those guys was going to completely, circumvent or stab Bobby Slowick in the back and say, hey, this guy is inflexible or whatever. So I think that's a big part of what this interview process is. All right, you're in charge now. You have the final call, because D'Amico is going to turn the offense over to this coordinator.
That's right.
You know, he'll pop his head in there, but he's going to turn it over. So all right, so you're in charge. You didn't have autonomy, or you weren't heard in Philadelphia. You didn't have autonomy here, Bill Lazor and Gerard Johnson. You weren't really going to rock the boat, so to speak, with Bobby Slowick. What would you do if you're the last guy? I think that's important. Let me ask you this, both of you guys. If you had to pick today, who is it?
How you going to ask the question I was about to ask you? You're just going to flip the question on me? What a jerk. All right, so I kind of want to drill down into this, because I...
Pick your guy.
I realize...
Not necessarily your guy. Pick who you think it's going to be.
Oh, I can't tell you who I think it's going to be. I don't know that I have a good idea. I'm just now getting a grasp on what it feels like they are looking for. Because you talked about the idea of turning the offense over. Mm. There's only one guy here, maybe you can go for two, that feel like they bring the experienced guy, the guy who has a whole bunch of experience and has a lot of a lot of skins on the wall mm-hmm. to this position. And that's Bill Lazor. But I mean, when you look at the large group, he gets probably a look because he's been internal and that type of thing. It looks like they want to go younger. It looks like they mm-hmm. want to go with like somebody that brings fresh and new ideas. So you have Bill Lazor, who has been, who's had a lot of time in the NFL. I believe he has 29 years in coaching, 9 years as an OC between the NFL and college football. And then Jeff Nixon is the other one, who's had 27 years and then 2 years as a co-office coordinator at the college level. Mm-hmm. Those are the only guys that are coming through with the level of, I think, experience that's somewhat in that level. Then I think that there's a level of appeal with Gerard Johnson already having that one understanding of where you've been to where you want to go, that mm-hmm. bridge, like immediately being able to hit and jump in. I think Brian Johnson, bringing him in has really piqued my interest. Part of what I said there, and I mean, he has a little bit of a local connection, mm-hmm. obviously, not that that would mean a whole bunch in what we're talking about here, but I kind of like him. I think that he has some really cool opportunities, and he also has like a tie to like Cliff Kingsbury as well in the offense that he's had.
Yeah.
If you have any level of appeal to what Washington did this year, but I don't know. It feels like Jerod Johnson is still pretty well situated. Or I mean, Nick Caley is also one of those ones that if you wanted to keep something somewhat similar, right? With seeing how kind of Sean McVay has bridged some of these things, but also getting that New England Patriots tie. Those guys feel like the leaders in my mind. And honestly, it seems like they might go internal with Jerod right now.
I would have to... Figgy, first you. What's your gut telling you?
I was kind of leaning towards Jerod, but I really have no clue. If I had to put money on somebody, I would probably put money on Jerod.
I would put money on Jerod or Nick Caley. I think Caley is probably one of those that certainly has that experience with Nick Caserio, but I think he's also beyond that. He's kind of spread his own wings and done his own thing.
The other thing is, I'm not sure how much they want to change with the offense.
Right.
Because it seemed like they're fine with the way the... I mean, I know they wasn't fine with the way
they
the offense...
They want blocking
was.
Schemes changed. They like other looks.
Yeah, they like the offense. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like maybe they want somebody to run it a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they want to bring somebody from the outside to kind of change the whole offense, or maybe Jerod can do something different than Bobby Slowick, or Bill Lazor could do something different than what they did.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, one thing you won't be able to say is that they were not thorough in this. This is a pretty wide group, and it feels like every day we're getting more people that they've interviewed and talked to. But, again, a lot of them relatively young. Not that they don't have experience, you know, on certain levels, but at the highest level, like being a coordinator or at least having those particular decisions, those guys haven't been in. But you're looking at guys that fit all sorts of different and have had different mentors in the coaching game that really do run the gamut of various different offenses, which... So, like, as much as young and fresh seems to be a motif in here, it does not seem like there's a very specific, oh, we're going to have a Shanahan side type system in that way, which I find to be interesting because we've talked about how this hire is going to also impact what you do personnel-wise, and that makes me wonder, like, how are they approaching the Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl, like, and these
See,
types
that's
of things
why
where they're,
I think,
where they're looking at players?
And they can get by without... knowing, you know, by the end of the Senior Bowl, which is pretty much over now.
Sure. I mean, again, we still got 3 months, like I said, till the draft actually
hits.
They
do need to find out sooner rather than later. I'll say by the time we're driving home Friday, we're going to know the OC.
Okay, so you're putting that date on it.
Yeah.
I think that they could... Yeah, I would like to know it by that time. I was like, I think that they could take a little bit longer if they really wanted to, but when we're coming back, what's that, like the 7th?
Mm-hmm. So you mean next week?
Next week.
Next week.
A week from today. Okay. We'll know.
Somebody said Brian Johnson to the Texans would be worse than Schottenheimer to the Cowboys. I don't think that's the case, but
is
I understand.
That bad?
I disagree
with
that.
No, Schottenheimer to the Cowboys is bad.
Yeah, and that's... Ooh, that's
bad.
There's quite a bit of reporting there that apparently Jerry Jones wanted... was talking to Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll had a lot of interest there.
Yeah.
And apparently in talking to Pete Carroll, was really... it spoke glowingly about Schottenheimer, and apparently Schottenheimer said that he would only return and work work at least as offense coordinator if he could get play calling duties. And I guess that took Jerry to a place where he's like, we can't lose this man. And I guess that ultimately
he played him.
Maybe so.
Yeah, he played
maybe
him.
Maybe so. So I don't know that I would make that akin to Brian Johnson.
So Pete Carroll pretty much got him the job.
Yeah.
Although it seemed like Pete Carroll wanted the job for himself, so I have no idea how that actually works. But that's the Cowboys up there. You're not operating. You're actually talking to a whole bunch of people with the opening that you have here. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into our lunchtime confessions here on In the Loop.